Boy, a pleasure to be with you as we get ready for Game 2 of this National League Division Series. Urias and Gausman, let us bring in Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, no better follow out there. Give him a holler. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. 10 more like yesterday, easy peasy, and you're parading somewhere.
Well, I feel that this team is playing the same game they've played all year long. And we got to see it yesterday, and you've watched a lot of baseball. It looks like the Giants have that look in their eye that they know they can win.
Yeah, and I feel like that was established in the, you know, in the very first inning, when Wed got out of the, he gave up the hit on the first pitch and then got the next three, and then Buster hit the opposite field home run. You kind of had a feeling that it was going to be their day right from the start. And it's basically 2010, Lincecum, shutout, first game of the playoffs. 2014, Bumgarner, shutout, first game of the playoffs. 2020, basically Logan Webb, shutout, first game of the playoffs.
Boy, every time you see a playoff team sort of come together, there's that one guy, that young pitcher, that hard-throwing pitcher. It could be a veteran, too. But that one ace who you say, okay, if we need a game five, he's our guy. If we're going to open up another series, he's our guy. And I think Logan Webb has grown up to be that guy for the Giants.
Yeah, it was the thing that intrigued me yesterday was like the number of people. I'm on the East Coast, so the number of people that were on my Twitter feed that said I had never seen this guy before, and boy, is he really good. And then you get Pedro on the post game show talking him up and saying, "Oh, this guy can do anything on the mound. He's fantastic." And I was thinking that like that guy shows up almost every postseason. And I went and I looked at guys that were under 25 who threw seven scoreless in a postseason game. And the last 10 years, you've got Walker Buehler, 2018. You got Syndergaard in the game that the Mets lost to the Giants. You got Yordano Ventura from the World Series. You got Michael Wacha from the playoffs for the Cardinals. You got Sonny Gray. You got Matt Bum. And I feel like those are like the guys where this is like their big stage and their moment to kind of come out as stars. And I felt like that was what we got from Logan Webb last night.
Well, that ball was moving. And the Dodgers, and you know this, you've talked about the Dodgers this year, the amount of walks they have. They don't chase. They're another team. But they chased last night. I'll tell you, that ball was moving off the plate. Now, different than for Gausman. We'll talk about Gausman. Got the split that, dives out of sight. But this guy's ball went right down the corner and then boom, off to the side, and the Dodgers never saw it.
It was really, it felt like he took them off their game. And that was something that they talked about. In fact, I think Pedro was the one that said it, that, he had completely changed his pitch mix. That was like the least he threw his fastball in any start all season, pretty much. The only, I think, start that rivaled it was like his first start of the year. He had them. He was in their heads. And I think that bodes well if this becomes a longer series, although the guy tonight can certainly help make it a shorter one.
Yeah, 41% change-ups for Webb yesterday, and that was a big difference for him. Let's talk about tonight. Gausman and Urias, too. Very accomplished pitchers. Gausman maybe not as great as he was the first half, but still the guy is a shutdown pitcher, and Urias, he's got 17 starts without losing, and that goes back to June. So what do we got cooking tonight?
So he had a nice competition for the Game 1 starter, and I think Logan Webb won it with that Padres start at the end of the season, that was what kind of won it for him. And Gausman was no slouch. Last two starts, I think Susan Slusser wrote about this the other day, that he found the splitter again. Like, he found it the way that it's supposed to be in terms of getting swings and misses, getting chases, which he was doing at the peak in late May, early June, including once against the Dodgers. So he is capable of excellence, as we've seen throughout the season, and he is capable of excellence against the Dodgers. If they're as messed up as they were last night, I think he's going to have a pretty good night.
What's the key for him, though? Because he became a good fastball pitcher before the split became the pitch for him. His fastball is still pretty good. Can he pitch without having the splitter, that A1 splitter?
I'm not sure about that. Like, again, especially against the Dodgers, I don't think he can just survive on 95-96 if he can get it at that level. I think he needs the chases. I think he needs to be ahead in the count. He had two starts against the Dodgers this past year where he was not. Like, they didn't swing at anything. So he's got to be careful of falling into that tonight.
Yeah, 14 innings, 8 hits, 5 runs, 3 homers, 8 walks, 16 strikeouts against the Dodgers earlier in the year. What about Urias on the other side? And Kerry Crowley did a great job, and I know you're on it as well. What you want to make him throw, because certainly the curveball is hit at a certain rate, but the fastball another rate?
Yeah, I think the thing that I like going into today, and it goes to the curveball and it goes to the changeup too, is that the last time the Giants faced him, they got 3 hits on the curve and they got 3 hits on the changeup. So if they can take away those two, I think they're in good shape. The way that they won the time that they really roughed him up mm-hmm. was he made a couple of really bad pitches and they crushed them. And that was a rarity for him. We do like, how do you do against the inside pitch, the outside pitch, and the middle pitch? And the middle pitch, because Urias has that the changeup and the curveball that are middle of the plate and that are down, is like highly effective for him. Opponents this year hit like 200 against the middle pitch, which is unheard of. That's what makes him so good. In the game that the Giants crushed him, they got 4 hits in 5 at-bats, including a home run that ended in a pitch that was in the middle of the plate. So they have to be really opportunistic when they get a pitch from him that they can hit. They've got to do damage. They can't just foul it off.
What about fastball versus curveball or changeup? Do you want the fastball? Is that more hittable?
I think he's across the board pretty good. I think anything that he throws is going to be something that can be a winning pitch for him on a given night. I know that the Giants have had a couple of games this year where they didn't really do much against it. In his last start, he threw 39 fastballs and didn't give up a hit with it, although he also threw 42 curveballs and didn't give up a hit with it. He'll have 1 hit in 6 and change against the Brewers. Start before that was against the Diamondbacks. They went 2-for-10 against the fastball, and he threw 30 out of 40 for strikes. So he has a pretty effective fastball, too.
Well, all right. No, good matchup. Great matchup. All right. Angel Hernandez is behind the plate tonight, and, you know, you just say his name, and all of a sudden people go, oh, no, not Angel Hernandez. What does he mean to a pitcher?
The beauty of it is that I think that every fan thinks that he hates their team. So if he hates all 30 teams, then he can't hate anybody. So the only thing that I think that ticks people off with him is that he has a wide outside corner. Like you saw last night, and it was against form for the umpire last night. That guy was supposed to have a really small plate, and he widened the outside corner, and Logan Webb took advantage big time, and Kruko basically gave him an A-plus for umpiring, which I thought was funny because I'm sure no Dodger fan thought that. But wide corners, and I think that that's more likely to help Urias than it is to help Gausman tonight.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yastrzemski 0-for-3 last night, but a couple of strikeouts. He did pull a couple down the line real hard. What do you think of him? Because he's slumping as well as Wade.
So I thought it was I actually tried to predict the lineup today in an email to John and Dave, and I got that part wrong. I had Yastrzemski starting when obviously Austin Slater was going to start. Austin Slater hit 500 against lefties this month. Yaz, though, the thing that I think would be a positive for him, he had a line drive into the shift. That ball had a 91% hit probability. It should have been a hit. It just, the guy happened to be standing in the right place. And he hit a foul ball that was just foul that had like a 60-something percent chance of being a hit based on the, you know, the sabermetric data. So to me, it was like, boy, okay, he went 0-for-3 with two strikeouts, but he had good swings mixed within that. It wasn't like he was totally lost.
Yep, I agree with that. Those balls were very close to falling in there. Tyler Rogers, first pitch strike to Corey Seager. Corey Seager swings at the first pitch every single time. What's unique about throwing him a strike?
So I got really excited about this, and it was somewhat irrationally excited. I had sent Dave and John a note that said, watch where Tyler Rogers gets his called strikes. Because while we know that catchers frame pitches, pitchers get calls in certain places too. And that pitch basically epitomized Tyler Rogers 2021, I thought, in a lot of ways, because he's able to clip the knee, like, and he gets that call almost every time. You have to be a really stingy home plate umpire to not give him that call. And he rates among the pitchers, and it was, I think, starters and relievers, who is most able to get a called strike like that he shouldn't get. And I just thought that that was really cool because that pitch was low and he got it. And it kind of, you know, it set up the next pitch essentially and sets up the rest of the at-bat. I just thought if you're going to watch the game for something extra, just a little bit differently, watch for where Tyler Rogers gets his called strikes, because whether it's Posey or Casale, he's able to get called strikes that other pitchers just don't get.
Mm, beautiful. Mark, great to talk to you as always. Mark Simon, Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. So, who wins this crazy five-game series? I'll put you on the spot.
Before it started, I was going to say Dodgers in four. But yesterday kind of shifted my thinking a little bit. I'm going to stick with it, though, because I had the Dodgers in the World Series. So I'll go Dodgers in four for now, which boy, I'm sorry to anyone that's listening that's going to be mad about that. That's going to unfollow me as a result.
Baseball's a talking sport. I've got the Giants in four, so we're even. Mark, pleasure. Have a great weekend. Great baseball coming up. We got Braves and Brewers and White Sox and Astros and Rays. And my God, the Red Sox. Kiki Hernandez, 5-for-6. Good baseball. I appreciate it. I hope I'm talking with you next weekend.
Yes, and more sub-3-hour games, please.
Okay. All right. Take care. Mark Simon on the East Coast. More coming up. Bill will be back with Adam Copeland right after this.